Today is Easter Sunday. I want to talk on the subject, Christ died for nothing. Yeah, you heard me. Christ died for nothing. I'm going to do a reading from Romans chapter 8, verse 1 to 11. Romans chapter 8. So if you have your Bible, stay with me. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in his sinful man or body, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. The next verse, please. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Amen. Amen. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit that lives in you. Now, as you read this, it tells that God himself raised Jesus Christ from the dead by his Spirit and gave life by his Spirit. So if the Spirit of God lives in you, then God lives in you. God gives you life. But if the Spirit of God does not live in you, then you are none of his. That's a serious statement. And that's what the Bible says. Now, if the Spirit of God does not live in you, it's one thing accepting Jesus Christ, but is the Spirit active in you? Because resurrection is an active thing, isn't that right? Yeah. Getting out of the grave, nobody touching you. You're dead for 3 days. No sign of life. Normally, by 3 days, if you're not in the fridge, you are putting on weight. Somehow along the line, somebody, by the Spirit of God, without any human intervention, without nobody praying over you, you come alive in power, in victory. That is the victory that Jesus Christ had over death. And that is the assurance that you and me have, that even if we, our bodies, may die one day, God is going to raise us up. That is what Easter means, resurrection means. Easter means nothing for many people. For a good majority of people in this country, and indeed in the Western world, Easter means nothing to them. And therefore, Christ died for nothing. That is the reality. Easter is a bank holiday. Have you heard any of our news people talking about anything other than bank holiday for Easter? Hear me out. Once upon a time, when I was a kid in this country and Easter is coming, you see Christmas services on the television, on the radio, your whole community is thinking Jesus. But now, I dare you. Did you hear anything apart from shops opening, eggs being sold, business prospering, or anything other than Christ being resurrected from the dead? Have you heard that? We don't hear that anymore. It means nothing in our part of the country to most people. Easter is a bank holiday, and their activities and behavior complements that. For a good number, also a good number of people in other parts of the world, Easter means nothing to them because they either worship other gods or are engaged in other religious practices. In fact, the Apostle Timothy, who's a bishop and young man too, indeed, and his 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2-5, he says this: people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful and unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. They have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. If you do the census, people say we are Christians. And if you ask almost everybody here, they say we are Christians. We have a form of godliness. We are here. It's a good thing. But where is the power of the resurrection in our lives as Christ followers and as God believers? Where is the power? If it's not being seen, we are denying the power thereof. The power in the resurrection. Resurrection is about power. Resurrection is about a stone in front of a cave and the stone being rolled away and the soldiers melting like anything and power coming out of it. If you read Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible says Jesus Christ rose from the dead by God's power, supernatural power and tremendous power. And that power has been given to you and has been given to me so that we will not deny the power thereof, but we will walk in the power thereof. Are you with me? Easter is supposed to transform us. It's our re-energizing moment. It's our refueling moment. It's our power enacting moment. God says, I've given it to you. And this supernatural power that raised him from the dead is the same power that I give to you. Hallelujah. 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 Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, according to Romans chapter 5. Verse 6 said, you see, at just the right time, when we were so sinners or powerless, Christ died. Did you hear that? When us were sinners or powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us. In this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. You see, two words that is coming through. Powerless and sinless. And Christ came to remove sin. And he came to make the powerless powerful. Are you with me? So Easter is to make the powerless powerful. Sometimes situation will cripple you and as if you have no power and no energy to get up. I want you to get up today because our Christ has risen from the dead and that has given you the power to overcome the powerless situation you find yourself in. Hallelujah. Today it is for you to say, reach out to the throne of room of God and say, God, today I take my power in Jesus' name. You see, if you're a king, or you're sitting on great wealth, and you're sitting by the roadside begging, what use is the power of wealth to you? It's of no use, is it? You have the wealth, you have the authority, but if you're not exercising it, it makes no use to you. Then Christ died for nothing. So Christ died so that he will restore us to where we ought to be. For while we're still sinners, for while we're still powerless, Christ died for us. Unless we grasp this, then Christ died for nothing. Are you following me? You see, so therefore, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. So now there is no condemnation for the sinner. This is a powerful statement. It's as if you've been put into prison for a long time for being proven guilty for whatever reason, and suddenly they said, we've reviewed your case, and you have not done anything wrong, and that will get you out, but you get some compensation too. Are you getting me? And where I'm trying to reach is that when God moves you out of prison, he does not just let you go, but a compensation is the Spirit of God that he breathed upon you, and the compensation is to make you stronger and put you where you ought to be and to move you forward in the next steps. Easter is about that. God will compensate you. Satan has held you back for too long. Certain things have gone on too long that you can't break through. Today, it just means that now I want you to get out and redeem those days. Those days that the enemy has destroyed. When you go to the book of Joel, he said the time that the locusts have eaten. The times of prosperity that you've grown your food and the enemy has come to, the grasshopper has come to eat all of it. They are dangerous animals, dangerous creatures, you know. They eat everything, ugly faces. They will eat everything and leave you with nothing. You see, and some of you, the enemy has turned grasshoppers in your lives. Or whenever we talk about grasshoppers, we are talking about things that eat the things that need to come out for you. And has eaten you out so much and kept you behind so much in so many other ways. Whether it's a sin, whether it's depression, whether it's a problem, whether it's not getting promotion, not getting the job, whether it's money, whether it's business not prospering, whether it's your health not coming good. The enemy has become a grasshopper there. And Jesus Christ is supposed to come and set you free and give you a compensation. Hallelujah. And the compensation is to move you forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, when you read Ephesians chapter 1, it said, now I've given the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. That's another word for it. A compensation for you. I'll give you the compensation that I am with you and that I'm going to restore you. So if you read it from verse 15 onwards, from Ephesians chapter 1, you should see that I've given the Holy Spirit as a compensation. Then it goes on to say, now to that I'm praying for you that your eyes will be opened, your spirit will understand how tremendous and how awesome the power that God has given to you. Hallelujah. The power that God has given to you. And did not stop there. It's the same power that raised him from the dead. So this Easter is a compensating time. Payback time. Another way to talk about compensation is payback time. Some of you have had some PPI compensation, haven't you? I've got a few. It's payback time. Anything that they took from me, those days I was ignorant and I just signed anything. But when I opened my eyes, I got some money back. I've spent it already, so don't ask me. Now, let's move on. So, if you don't know this or accept the message that Easter brings and ask God for his forgiveness, then Christ died for nothing. King David of Israel acknowledged this reality as a sinner and asked God for forgiveness in Psalm 51. We know the guy was a bad guy, or maybe whatever you want to, whatever place you want to put him. At least we know he was an adulterer. At least we know he was a murderer. At least we know he was a hypocrite. At least we know that he was a liar until he was found out and he had nowhere to hide. And then he broke down and said, God, help me out. And you know something? He put that in a song, in Psalm 51. If you read it, that was when David had committed sin. and was asking God and said, God, you know what? In me, nothing good dwells. I can see that my whole flesh moved towards the things that are against you. But forgive me. Have mercy on me. In one sense, it could well be that even in my mother's womb, I was a sinner and I didn't know it. He was now beating himself so hard. Now he pressed on and said, but he also asked for something else, which he realized was the hope of his life and destiny, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So when you get to verse 10 and verse 12, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. Take not away your Holy Spirit from me. But to put it in my words, give it back to me. Give it back to me. And as you move on, say, then I will go and tell sinners the ways of God and I will teach them. That's the kind of person that he was. You see, King David understood this over 800 years ago, before the first resurrection, that his hope of eternal life lies in the power of the resurrected Christ and by the work of the Holy Spirit. He knew that long before Jesus Christ came. And we have hindsight, and we know something that we don't have to envisage so many years ahead of us. And he did something about it. He begged for the Holy Spirit. And when you go to the book of Acts, when they refer to David, they said David was a prophet. We know him to be king, but they said he was a prophet. That means he became God's spokesperson. God spoke to him by his spirit. And that is that man. And God even the word of God said, and when God is looking for somebody whose heart is after him, he found David. Same guy. But he understood the message of the resurrection. And he asked for the Holy Spirit. And he asked that his bones would be not left in the grave. But his eyes had seen the Lord's resurrection. Let me read something for you. Maybe it will help you. Acts chapter 2, verse 24 to 28. But God raised him, Jesus Christ, from the dead, freeing him from the agony of the dead, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, Jesus, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realms of the dead. You will not let your Holy One, Jesus, also see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Think about this man saying this 800 plus years ago. That now, because the Lord, I've seen the Lord, he is by me. I have the favor of the Lord before me because he has forgiven me my sins. Now I can see something else. That even if I die, my bone will not remain in the grave. But my bones will rise up with a new spirit, with a new body, and I will be with the Lord. So the Apostle Paul came and he preached and said that, I want to tell you a mystery. If you don't know it, hear this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that God, those who have died before us will go. Will not remain in the grave, but God will appear and they will rise first. And those of us who are living, but in Christ or remaining in Christ or holding on to his spirit and being God and Christ followers, then we'll be caught up with them in the sky. And there'll be one flock, one communion. Are you with me? There'll be one flock and one communion. I cannot wait for the day that some of the pains that have been in my heart for the loss of my parents, my brothers, my sisters, and I cannot wait for that day that I will rise up from the grave and I will meet them, and more so I will meet the Lord, and together we will celebrate the resurrection. Wouldn't that be amazing? And on that day, the Bible said, I'll heal you of every pain. There will be no more sorrow, there will be no more pain, there will be no more crying, there will be no more tears, there will be no more dying. So, David saw this several hundred years back. He saw the resurrection. And he said, you will not allow your Holy One's body to see decay. And therefore, Jesus Christ's body saw no decay. That is why he resurrected, isn't it? So David prophesied a long time ago. So if he prophesied and it was fulfilled, then we have a living hope. Then we have a reasonable hope to live and enjoy that Easter is a good time for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go to our passage that we started with, that verse 3 and 4. For Easter brought to us a new life in the Holy Spirit. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled, fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Let me break this down for you a little bit. Here, what he said, the righteous requirement of the law will be fulfilled and fully met in us. What is this? The righteous, I know a little bit about the Bible, right? I don't know it all. I know a little bit, so I will tell you something. The righteous requirement of the law is to live holy lives. Is to be healed from diseases and sicknesses. That we will not be influenced by the works of the evil one. And that nobody will be hungry or be without shelter. Above all, we will walk in close communion, relationship, fellowship with the Lord. These are the righteous requirements of the law. He says, now Christ died so that we will live a life in the Spirit, so the righteous requirement of the law will be fulfilled in us. Because when God gave the law, call it 10 commandments or 613 commandments, that's the real commandment. That's a lot of them. So when you read it, you will come to understand that God said, I will not put any of the diseases of the Egyptians upon you. I am a holy God, so you should be holy. And he made sure that the vicar or the priest or the high priest will remind them. I am the one who will take diseases and sickness away from you. I am the one who will make sure that spirit of wickedness will not overtake you. That means the power of hell will not overtake you, that you will not be demon-possessed or witchcraft and wizard, if that is what you believe in, will not have power over you. You see, the enemy has power. If you doubt him, don't mess about with him. But God has a greater power. And the greater power of God is a resurrection power. Greater power of God is a power that raised people from the dead. I'm not going to tell you my story, but I'll tell it time and time again, 1,000 times, wherever I have to. But then I'll just tell you that in this church, God has been able to raise me from near-death experience. On the 16th of February, I was here preaching, and I was down dead over here after casting out evil spirit, after breathing the Holy Spirit upon people, and after healing people and prophesying over them. I saw myself dead on the floor. And to move from life to death is a quick thing. You don't see it. You only realize you are in a different place. Nobody sees death. Some will say, oh yeah, I can see death. But that action of death is a nanosecond thing that you don't see. But you see where you are. And there's no coming back. And in this church, people prayed. And I was back. That is resurrection power. That's the resurrection power Jesus Christ is trying to tell us to hold on to. And I just want to, please, church, if you are fed up with that, let me know. But I am not, because that's the message God has given me. So, hallelujah. Praise God. Because I live by the resurrected power of the Holy Spirit. It said, be fulfilled in us, isn't it? And the whole church that were gathered, the resurrected power of God was fulfilled, and the righteous demands or the righteous things of the law was the righteous requirement of the law was met fully in them, and that was resurrection power. So when you read the Bible and hear people raise the dead, it's quite an easy thing to do. If you are living in the Spirit. That's what Paul is writing, that we should live a life not in the flesh, Is it possible? It's not. Can God do this? Can God do this? We try to find reasons to explain things. That is life in the flesh. The Bible says to be carnally minded. That means you are using only your mind to think. When it comes to Easter, it's more than the mind. Because Jesus Christ, when he rose from the dead, you can't even just touch him. The guy, you shut your doors and the guy comes in uninvited. Right. You understand that? That is resurrection power. You're walking with him one day and you don't see him. That is resurrection power. You don't have to go to Satan to give you that. Some people ask for Satan for such things. But when they encounter the power of God, something breaks through. We are supposed to cast out the work of the evil one and to release the righteous requirement of the law upon our lives and upon the lives of the people in our homes and wherever we'll be. We should be the representative of God to actually see that the righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled. People could not keep the law or live in the boundaries, benefits, and realization of it because they walk in their sinful flesh. They did things by their own flesh and strength, failed miserably, and became condemned. But Jesus came to die and rose from the dead in order for the righteous requirement of the law will be fully met in us. How? To live according to the Spirit. When we fail to grasp this truth or live according to the Spirit, then Christ died for nothing. Are you with me? See, the new life in Christ is this. Christ's death and resurrection freed us from the mind, always focusing and solving problems with our minds only. Life in the flesh is what it calls, or the Bible calls it, or to be carnally minded is what the Bible calls it. You can't solve all your problems with your mind. Even the most cleverest persons don't solve no all problems. But I can assure you that when God is on your side and you live in this resurrected life and the power of the Spirit, you are able to move on. And somehow along the line, we've actually allowed the enemy sometimes to keep us messed about in our lives, in our marriages, in our homes, in our jobs, in our pockets for too long. It's enough. Today is Easter Sunday. Do you hear that? It's enough for us to say that now Jesus Christ has erected, and therefore today the righteous demands and requirements of the devil, the righteous demands and requirements of the law will be now be fulfilled and fully met in me because of Jesus. Hallelujah. You got to claim what is rightfully yours. You have to claim what is rightfully yours. You have to claim what is rightfully yours. Don't let nobody defeat you. Don't let nobody tell you nothing. Sometimes they think, oh, you are uneducated, so you don't understand. Yeah, they understand it with their mind. You see, remember the people who were first called Christians in Acts chapter 4, the Bible said they saw that they were uneducated. And yet they were doing things that educated people couldn't do. You see, the Jewish elders couldn't cope with Jesus because they said, well, he hasn't been to no seminary. He wasn't in our uni. So how come he's teaching us at the age of 12 in the temple? How come he's teaching us things that we don't even seem to comprehend? We can't accept that. He's not one of us. He hasn't got no qualification. He's uneducated. Don't take that. You are educated by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Resurrection power will educate you. I'm not saying don't go to school, right? I beg you, please go to school. If you're in school, get some proper certificate, because this country, if you don't get no proper job, you don't get proper money. So get something, but then when you get it, make sure the Holy Spirit is with you so that you can get your promotion and get your money good. You hear that? And when you get it, remember to invest it, but also remember to give God the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Resurrected life brings us new life and frees us from our mind. Resurrected life is to move us from the flesh to new life in the Spirit, where we live in the supernatural and we live in peace. Resurrection is the power to overcome death by the Spirit of God. Anything that will kill your peace and soul was overcome by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So let me read a little bit of our scripture too. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Are you with me? So somehow along the line, if you take Christ out of your life, and if you take Christ and his power out of your life, you can come to church as long as you want. But if you are taking the resurrection bit out of your life, you are as carnal as an unbeliever. You're not making progress because you love what we call religion. Because you want church to be that way and that way. Anything that, oh, no, we're not used to that. I'm sure some of you be thinking, oh, our worship is becoming a little bit long. I don't mind. It's to create the stream for the supernatural to come. Hallelujah. That is why it is done in heaven. And as it is in heaven, so shall it be done here. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26 said, and then when you meet together, let there be a psalm, let there be a word, let there be a hymn, let there be a prophecy, let there be interpretation, let there be all this. I'm sure you're looking at your watches now. See, God transcends time and space. That doesn't mean that I have to be careless and keep you here for the next day. I won't be doing that. Anyone who lives in the realm of the flesh dies. How many minutes have I got, please? Anyone who lives in the realm of the flesh dies. Those who are in the realm, thank you. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Verse 8 and 9. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. Listen to the language that is used in there. The realm of the Spirit, realm of the flesh. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to the Christ. Another way to interpret, if the Spirit of God is not active in you, you see, you may debate it. That doesn't mean that I'm not a Christian. You see, if you belong to God, the Bible said, as the Father has sent me, so have I sent you. We read John chapter 20. The Bible said, when Jesus Christ rose up from the dead, he came to the disciples. They were shut up. What is that? I shut you up, whatever it is. In Jesus' name. So what we are saying right here is this, that somehow, along the line, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, what happens is that he just burst into their room uninvited. Nobody even opened the door for him. He just got there and said, peace be still. That's resurrection life, to bring peace in your home and your life and everything that you do around. So if peace is not happening, you have to claim back your resurrected life. That there will be peace in your home. There will be peace in your workplace. There will be peace in your mind. Because we are talking about mind. And flesh. There's got to be peace somewhere. So peace be unto you. And the Bible said he breathed the Holy Spirit upon them. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. The same way that Christ, God sent his son Jesus Christ to become a sinful man to bear our sins upon the cross, the same way he sent us. And when you read the life of Jesus Christ, you know, I mean, from Tuesday onwards, this church will be looking, there is devotion, you'll be looking at the book of Mark. And you would like to see how Jesus Christ lived. Right? So, resurrected life. So, as the Father has sent me, I've sent you. So, if the Spirit is not active in you, and if you're a Christian and you wake up in the morning, and the first thing you think about is your phone or your work, you know what? There's no resurrected life in you. If the last thing you go to bed is your phone and your food, there's no resurrected life in you. Some of you are students. You'll be thinking, oh God, should I not study? Please study. Because the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God. So that you will not be ashamed. The word in between is a workman. That means you have to work hard so that you will not be ashamed. Are you with me, young people? You got to study so that you will not be ashamed. And if you're a Christ follower, study so that you know the word of God, so that you will not be ashamed. Because if you don't know the word of God, one day you'll be ashamed. Because you cannot, somebody come and twist your brain and you will just follow anything. The reason why many people follow anything because they don't know anything. They only know book knowledge. Common sense eludes them. But then you see, Christ come to give us resurrecting power to renew our minds so that we will have some good life. I'm coming to the end, so in case you're worried, I'm getting there. Anyone who lives in the realm of the flesh dies. So those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God at all. If we continue to live in the realm of the flesh, then Christ died for nothing. What is the realm of the flesh? That we don't do anything that shows that we have walked with Jesus. And when you read Mark chapter 16, it says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall heal the sick. In my name, they shall drink poisons and will never hurt them. In my name, they will cast out devils. In my name, they will do miracles. These are the heritage of the resurrected life. And Jesus said this when he resurrected. If you check the scriptures, that is exactly what it is. So that is resurrected life. So you'll be thinking, is this church moving into something different? We are moving into scripture. Amen. Are you with me? Yes. So if you don't like scripture, the doors are open, transparent, you can go. But we like scripture here, and we want to live by scripture. So we have to thirst and thirst and thirst for the resurrection life, the life in the spirit. Jesus breathed on his disciples, and he breathed the Holy Spirit and sent them as sent ones to do the things that he did here on this earth. Now, in conclusion, but if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. So do you know this Jesus Christ? It is Spirit living in you. What are you doing with it? Who sees it? Who benefits from it? And who benefits from the resurrected life that you say you have? Who sees the Spirit of God in you? Who benefits from it? Some of us, we love to hear people come and tell us their sad stories. And we say we will pray for them and it ends there. At best, we pray once and we forget. Resurrected spirit and resurrected life is to get people out of the trouble. Isaiah chapter 61 and Luke 4 says that, look, the Spirit of the living God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the good news, to set captives free, and to open the prisons for people to get out. And those who sit in ashes and mourn and are grieving and are hurting is to get them out of this. And to make them oaks of righteousness. That means to the planting of the Lord himself. God to make them strong. God to make them strong, immovable, so that they can do the right things. So that they can live the resurrected life. So today, if you ask me, what is the message for Easter? That if none of these things means anything to you, if you don't believe in it, and if you are, frowning upon it, then Christ died for nothing. You will live in your sins. You will live in your place without power. The power that God has given me right from the foundations of the earth, which has given everyone who will believe, I want to move in that. I want to see people set free. I want to see people healed. I want to see many people come to faith in Jesus Christ. They ask Jesus Christ to be their forgiven and they follow him as their Lord. I want to see people who are at the point of death come back to life. Don't say, if it is the will of God. Hang on a minute. It is the will of God to rise, for Jesus Christ to rise from the dead. It's the will of God for Jesus Christ to heal the sick. It's the will of God for Jesus Christ to cast out demons. It's the will of Christ for people to prosper in their lives. It's the will of God for people to do well. It's the will of God for people to come to their eternal destiny. So what are you saying? Oh God, if it is your will, heal that person. Stop praying those demonic prayers. The right prayers and the righteous prayers. God, I want that person to be healed. Otherwise, don't pray. You understand that? Are you with me? Am I challenging you enough? You see, I'm in a new place. And I want to get closer and closer to God. Know His resurrection power. Or the power of His resurrection. And the more I get to know it, the more I know that God is powerful. At the moment, I have nothing to lose. I pass from death to life. So death will come as no surprise or no worry to me. It's never been. And now it will never be. We're going to pray now. Thank you for making that noise behind us. You may stand on your feet. You've sat down a lot. If you're able to stand on your feet so that we can pray a bit. I won't be long. It won't be a long prayer session. This Easter Sunday. You see, I'll be doing so wrong that if you are here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your forgiver and leader, that means if you've never known Jesus Christ, the Bible said, if anyone who has not the Spirit of God in him, that person is not, does not belong to him. Maybe you are here, you don't even know anything about the Spirit of God. Are you willing today to say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. The cross was for me. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that He went on the cross to save my life. I will give you that opportunity to say, God, please, save my life. Who is that person that I will just raise up a hand to me and I'll be praying for you? It's not about the next person standing before you. It's about Jesus Christ in your life. Today, I want to give you that opportunity. It is my responsibility to do that. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you've never given your life to Him, you've never made that commitment, I want you to raise up your hand and I'll pray for you. On the other hand, if you want Easter to be a new beginning for you, a resurrected beginning, just put up your hand and I'll pray for you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Resurrected life. Father God, today I pray for the Holy Spirit to be upon your people. As many whose hands are risen right now, Father God, I breathe the Holy Spirit upon them. Just like you breathe the Holy Spirit upon them, upon the disciples. Father God, fill them with your Spirit. Move them from depressive lives. Move them from defeated lives. Move them from life that is killing them. Move them from sinful behaviors. Move them from adulterous behaviors. Move them from anything, Father God, that is holding them back from following you. Jesus, come in your power. Come in your Spirit. Father, fill them anew with this resurrected life. And we thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, let your Spirit move in their lives. Move in their lives. Move in their lives. Move in their lives powerfully. In Jesus' name, I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Do you mind singing just one song before they come and do the notice? A song that will connect us. And as you sing this song,